Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join on the Goodyear Hotline. We're asking on the Dr. Pepper call-in line, 888-SAY-ESPN, 729-3776. Outside of Pats and Bucks, outside of that game, what's the game of the week in the NFL? You heard sound just now from a fantastic new show at 2 p.m. called This Just In on ESPN. We'll get to your calls in just a minute, but Key, J, you heard it. Like, this is crazy to me as long as Russell Wilson's been in the league already. Never lost three in a row in a season. Mm. Only one time did he have single-digit wins, and that was a nine-win season. Otherwise, double-digit wins every single year.
Who was Pete's first quarterback?
Right before Russell Wilson came in, and it was whose job was it? Why am I drawing a blank?
I'm drawing a blank, too.
Evan, whose job was it in...
Not Matt Flynn. Matt Flynn was signed, but...
No. As soon as I say it, you'll know what I'm talking...
Who was the quarterback prior to Russell Wilson for Seattle? I'm drawing a blank.
Yeah, but it's someone...
It wasn't John Kitner.
No.
It wasn't... Oh, my goodness.
Oh, ready for this?
Give it to me.
Matt Hasselbeck?
Hasselbeck. Huh? Okay. Yeah. Matt Hasselbeck was the QB for, what, a year?
No,
from
2001
it was Tavares Jackson, and you know, in the year before Russell Wilson, it was Hasselbeck and Tavares Jackson, right? Like, okay, that was what it was going to be, and then Russell Wilson came and it was over.
Matt Flynn, they signed for all that money,
yeah,
and he decided to go with Russell Wilson. I'm just thinking, I'm trying to think of the bad years that Pete had, if there was a stretch in there where they could have potentially lost three games, just off the top of my head, not looking at a computer or anything. And I could see where he wouldn't lose three games. It's hard. When you are good, it's hard to lose three in a row when you're good.
Well, but you know what's even harder? Well,
two in a row, it happens.
It's harder to
three
be,
is hard.
It's harder to be so good that in 10 years, the only time you don't win double digits, you win nine. Jay, that's almost like the NFC version of the Patriots or something.
No, how about the issue that the Seahawks have with their defense, though? I mean, we know how explosive Russell can be, but that defense has been something that we've been questioning over the last couple of years. It started to get better towards the end of last year. This year, a lot of penalties.
Ever since Ken Norton Jr. became the defensive coordinator, they just haven't quite gotten it right. I don't know what that means. They just haven't gotten it to the point of where they wanted it to be. Chris Richard was the defensive coordinator several years ago. They were okay, teetering along. Then they bring in Ken Norton Jr. They start off slow. They finish decent on the back end every single year since he's been to D.C. It's not the same. And I think the expectations have always been set because Pete Carroll, defensive coordinator, defensive-minded coach, along with having the success of the Legion of Boom. The Legion of Boom been boomed out for a while.
Yeah.
But we still holding on. It's just like in boxing. If somebody told me that – you know, 5 years ago, Mike Tyson can get in and be the heavyweight champion of the world again, I'd bet every dollar I got.
Yeah, right.
Because I'm Mike Tyson. He can do it. He can do it. He can do it. And that's how I felt about this defense. Like, oh, yeah, they'll retool. They'll get some.
But new dudes, the same dudes.
New dudes.
And here's the thing about Seattle to me. This is what is even more impressive. When I talk about quarterback coach combinations, right, like can John Gruden and Derek Carr be that? So far this year, it's checking out. Every year they've gotten better and they're undefeated this year. But when I look at Russell Wilson and Pete Carroll, guys, the Legion of Boom is gone. The defense has been suspect, right? The offensive line, ever since they traded Max Unger for Jimmy Graham, and they thought, oh, we'll just get guys in the third round, coach them up. That hasn't worked. Like, they don't they don't have an O-line. They're still winning double digits.
You got Steve Hutchinson and Walter Joneses and stuff like that. You're going to be good.
Yeah, back then, but it's been a minute since then.
No, I'm saying it's hard to find those type of guys. I mean, it really is.
No doubt. What I'm saying is they haven't, until recently, they haven't really put a lot of resources there. It is so hard for a quarterback coach without a good defense and without an offensive line where every year, Key, J, you know, 10, 12 wins a year.
Yeah, but it was a layup in the division.
Yeah, not anymore.
No, it was a layup.
Yeah,
you had the Arizona Cardinals was hot garbage.
Yeah.
The 49ers couldn't get out of their own way. I mean, they had the little bit of a run with a hardball. But for that, for the most part, they were terrible with Mike Nolan and Singletary and them. And then the Rams, come on, we already know what that
So that's the whole thing. That just set the stage, right? So now everyone calls it the best division in football. And certainly it's an excellent division at the very least. You like the AFC West, you like the AFC North.
I know where you're going.
So now they're 1-2. A new world. Defense still not good. Offensive line, gotten better, but are we saying Russell Wilson can drop 3 in a row here?
It's feasible.
I mean, They could. They back and forward. They go back and forward. San Francisco, Seattle, you win at my house, I win at yours. We split every single year, it feels like.
Yeah.
And that could happen. It could happen. And if it happens, do the frustration settle in with either Pete or Russell Wilson, because Russell asked for this, we gave him that. Pete Carroll, are you losing your fastball as a coach? Well, you know, do you start that pointing the finger, blah, blah, blah? Because when you lose 3 in a row, when you had such high expectations coming into a season, it could be very difficult. It could wear on your team and organization.
I mean, we're talking about 3 in a row, 4 in a row.
Well,
They play the Rams next.
And that's what I said That's what I said about the division is the Rams playing Arizona. Then all of a sudden they play Seattle. Arizona plays San Francisco. In the next couple of weeks, they start canceling each other out.
Yeah, yeah. If it stays like that, I'm saying what you said, Key. In years past, there are some layups in there. Even the divisional rivalries, but still.
It's a layup.
Right now, there are no layups in the division. They're 1-2. They got San Francisco, and then they got the hottest team in football in the Rams.
Then they go on the road to Pittsburgh. I mean,
this is where guys
layup, but
this is what
road.
I'm saying. Guys like Russell Wilson and combinations like him and Pete Carroll, it's so impressive to me because there are times where it's like, oh, my God, 1-2. They could be – but they never seem to wind up that way. If they do it again, like, I don't know. I just don't see him losing. I don't see him going to 1-3.
All right.
I mean, it could.
It's possible, but it'd be a new day. By the way, Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, presented by Progressive Insurance. Zach in Texas. We're asking on the Dr. Pepper call-in line. Outside of the Pats-Bucks, game of the week in the NFL. What do you think, Zach?
Yeah, I'm a big Cowboys fan, and I actually had a question for Keyshawn, really. Do you think the Cowboys are for real this year? I mean, I know you get that question probably every year, but, I mean, they've looked pretty good so far. The defense is shaping up pretty decent. And the other question I have is, I mean, do you think you can get Tony Pollard as just your number one and get rid of Zeke?
Well, let me answer the first one. I do think that they're real. I've always thought that they were real. Mike McCarthy and Mike Nolan were not good in the pandemic season, and things just didn't work out. Everybody hurt, quarterback hurt, cancel out last year. This year, they certainly are headed in the right direction. The quarterback, whenever you have a good quarterback, your team's going to be good. I don't care what the offensive line looks like. I don't care. Whenever you have a good quarterback, your team is going to be good, and they retooled the defense. In terms of just getting rid of Zeke, I know he hasn't lived up to what the expectations were when they paid him the money, when he decided to return from Cabo, and everybody's like, oh, and he balled out. A lot of it had to do with the offensive line being banged up and hurt, not really having a quarterback that was competent. Now he has that. We saw last week he got better. They gave him the touches. At a running back position, you've got to get the touches to be effective. No, you don't touch the ball, I can't help you. It's the same as a receiver. You don't throw to me, how in the hell am I supposed to help you?
Especially running backs, because if you never get the carries, then you never have that explosive play. You never get in a rhythm.
And I think he's fine. I think he's okay. You continue. Everybody had the days of a single back just dominating by itself have been long gone.
Especially a guy just running the ball.
Everybody has got a two back system, Jay. Yeah,
plus, you can utilize him in the red zone because he just punishes the ball. I mean, that's what he did against the Chargers. And that's what he did against the Eagles.
Yeah, he had about 90 yards.
Yeah, it's fine.
But he punishes people. I mean, it's Tony Pollard and him have different set of skills. And Tony Pollard, when he hits that open slot, man, he's gone. He's out. That's different than Ezekiel Elliott. Doesn't mean that Ezekiel can't be utilized differently, just as effectively, though.
Yeah, but everybody, for the most part, though, two backs are a norm. It's not, you know, Derrick Henry, but that's their offense.
Yes.
That's what they do.
Yet another reason that people would say, like, the best argument I have for drafting a backup high, never have to pay him, You use them up for 5 years. If you have to, you franchise them once or twice and then goodbye, right? Because the guarantee is based on how many more years they think you have. And by the time you're 27, 28, your guarantee is only going to be but so much because they think you're done at 29 or 30, right? So that's the argument for drafting a back but not paying them. But the flip side, what you're saying is, well, everyone's running a two-back system. That's more of an argument not to pay the back.
Yeah, but everybody ain't got two backs that's good. And that's the difference. Kareem Hunt and Nick Chubb is an outlier. Everybody doesn't have two backs that are good.
So, yeah. Max, you're saying you wouldn't pay Saquon Barkley?
I don't want to talk bad about someone else's money, especially I love watching Saquon.
Too late. He's already said running backs.
But I think there should be an exception in the CBA for running backs. I think they need to be paid separately from everyone else because they're getting used up. It's just not fair compared to other positions.
But see, you can't do that, though, Max, because then if that running back says there should be an exception for talk shows hosts like Max, and there should be a cap in it, that's not right.
No, not a cap. I'm saying you got to figure out a way to get them money because smart teams are just going to stop paying them.
Every running back that's a lead back is going to get paid. Mm-hmm. We've said it a million times, and I'll keep saying it over and over. A lead back is going to get paid because there's only a handful of guys like that. Tony Pollard becomes a lead back. What is he going to look like for 17 weeks?
Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, brought to you by DraftKings. Sign up with DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner of the NFL, and use code KJM to get a free shot at millions of dollars in prizes. Up for grabs this week with your first deposit. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, we now welcome in three-time Super Bowl champion Ty Law on the Goodyear Hotline. Good morning, Ty.
Hold on, man. Ty.
Good morning, guys. What's up, man?
What's up? You only got three Super Bowls. You should be the one mad at Belichick. Everybody else running around mad at him. I'm like, damn, Ty only got three? You should be the one mad.
Only three.
Man, hey, you know what? But I got to say, I lost one, Key. I should have four, man. Green Bay put it on us, my second year in 96. So we lost that to Green Bay. So technically, I feel I should have four.
Oh, okay. What's the V for on your shirt?
Oh, man, that's the V one. You know I'm always representing my brand. You know, I'm a Baca brand. And yeah. I got some early morning in my coffee, get that V1 vanilla, y'all. I'm trying to tell you, perky, start your day.
So this is what I'm going to say, though, in all honesty.
Right.
The next time you're on this show and the vodka is not sitting next to me, and when I see you, it's on and popping because the last time you was on the show, it's supposed to have been delivered. I don't know who fault that is.
Don't cheat me too, Ty. I'm here.
I don't know. Jay, you got to get it to us now.
Max, I got y'all. And look, I got something special limited edition, man. I can't give it all to you right now on the show, but I got something special coming out. A signature flavor. It's going to be cold, y'all. But I promise you, look, I want to open it up on y'all's show. Let's do it, and let's launch it together on y'all's show, man.
Come
on. Okay. Look, give me your word. I'll give you my word.
No, my word is bond. You know that. We good.
All right. Okay,
we 100 with
no
it.
No doubt.
Ty, I like to keep it 90. I give myself some wiggle room.
With Keyshawn because you never know. Keyshawn, hey, Jay Will, I'm trying to tell you about Keyshawn, man.
Talk to me.
He will sit there, and he loves to try to play games and pranks on you. I know we talked about it last time. Even out there on the field, he'll butter you up a little bit, and then he'll try to rip your head off, man. So yeah, I never know what's coming with Keyshawn. Cause we cool, but then sometimes I'm like, damn, he done tried to cut me, he done tried to block me hard. I'm like, goddamn, Keyshawn, I thought we good. The player's over here, man.
Ty, tell me about that. We both know who Key is off the field, obviously on camera, just in life and fun. How was he on the field though?
I mean, he was a problem. I mean, you talk about a big body that he wasn't afraid to put his hands on you. I remember one player in particular, you know, I went to go jam him. He actually grabbed me. He pulled me by. And basically it was a pass interference on his ass. And, you know, he just kept on running. But that's how Keyshawn plays. And if you ain't looking, you better keep your head on the swivel because he liked to kind of sneak and come behind and get a good block in. I mean, you ain't as bad as Hines Ward. You ain't bad as Hines Ward now. Hines Ward was bad. But Keyshawn, you a sneaker brother every now and again.
No, I remember playing Foxborough. We playing the Jets, and he comes up. He want to quick jam it in, and I literally yanked him to a point where Ty went 10 yards behind me, and I'm wide open for a 60-yard bomb. Vinny wasn't ready to throw. He threw it too threw it about 10 yards over my head. I was like,
Yeah. Go ahead and tell him what happened at the end of the play. Go ahead. Keep on going. Hey, Max, keep on going.
Yeah, what happened? What happened at the end of the play?
I came back like I was prime time on his ass. You know, I ain't got the speed like prime time, but I felt like prime time on that play. But I was mad at Key.
So you're saying, Key is blaming Testaverde, but it was, has something to do with Ty Law.
He wasn't ready to throw.
I pulled out my inner prime time and I turned on them jets and I came back and got it.
So you're saying Key ran more like a tight end.
Oh, three-time Super Bowl champion Ty Law on the Goodyear hotline. Ty, we've been asking a lot of people predictions, what they think, da-da-da. Let me ask you, how do you think Tom Brady should be received in New England?
With open arms, a lot of admiration. I think they should take 10, 15 minutes, however long it takes, to show the appreciation for what he's done in New England. And then after all the celebration and after all the hoopla, it's time to go out there and play football. And I think it should be your mission as a player, because you know he's going to break the all-time record. You know he's going to pass Drew Brees in Foxborough. How ironic is that? Yeah. But as a team, you should go out there and want to take him out. Not as far as physically, but you want to win the game and you want to kick his butt. You know what I mean? It's all about winning at the end of the day. And if you want to keep to the tradition of what has been established in New England, it's about winning. It's not about anything else. So, you know, all praise to Tom. Look, I'm a Tom Brady fan. He's the greatest of all time. I've said it so many times. Not only the greatest quarterback, he's the greatest football player, period, hands down, of all time. But on Sunday, when he comes to New England, Hey, I'm going for the Patriots. You know, that's who drafted me. So, hey, I'm Tom Brady. Any other game besides this one.
Ty, I've been kind of in my mind playing with the idea that Tom Brady was discovered by Bill Belichick in the front office. And they brought him along and taught him all the little things that he needed to be successful within the New England system. And now you got the master in Bill Belichick going up against a guy that he trained and taught everything. Who do you think know more about one another? Do Bill know more about Tom's strengths and weaknesses, or do Tom know more about the defensive side of the ball, strengths and weaknesses for New England?
You know, that's a great question, Key. And I think they've both been in the game so long. They're so experienced. They know one another so well. It's going to be hard to put anything past Tom Brady out on the football field. He's unseen at all. You know, and I've known Coach Belichick to bring out something that we haven't seen as a player. Like, where did that come from? You know what I mean? So he probably has a trick up his sleeve. He's had so many different, you know, personnel, so he can play around a little bit. But as far as Tom playing against him, we haven't seen that much. So I think the advantage somewhat will go, you know, to Belichick, because Tom hasn't played against everything that he's thrown at him. He's played against everything else around the league. But Coach Belichick, he always seems to come up with a plan. So I don't know exactly that. Like I said, that's a great question. But I would think, because of the experience, that Coach Belichick might have an advantage as far as, okay, Tom might not recognize this, but I can take this guy out. I can take this guy out. I can do something creative. Once you're on the football field, like I said, Tom, he's seen it all. But I know Coach Belichick is the smartest mind probably the game has ever seen. So, you know, I think he can have somewhat of an advantage, you know, from a personnel standpoint, because he has to mix and match.
Ty, obviously the competitive fire in this game is going to be next level between these two giants, right? Mm-hmm. But you've been in the foxhole. You've seen Tom in the foxhole. Are there any moments that you can recall where you saw something or you heard something that where the fire was so just next level, where you're like, I don't even know people can get to the level? Now, obviously, you're a competitive dude, that you think will give us insight into what we might see on Sunday evening?
You know what? Tom is one of those guys that he's laser focused on what he's doing. He's one of those guys, you know, It's one thing to say it, but to live it every day with that laser focus to be the best, I have not seen too many people that can do it like Tom Brady. And I think one of those things that you see with Tom is just his energy, as far as his willing to not only compete, but prior to the game, you always see the quarterback. And as you know, Keyshawn, they kind of like over here.
Yeah.
You know, they're not in the middle jumping around, head button and things like that, slapping shoulder pads. Tom is one of those guys. He's one of the rare quarterbacks that come in there and give you a headbutt that'll damn near give you a concussion before the game. And that is something that I always love and respect about Tom. He's, you know, he's Tom Brady, but he's also one of the guys. He don't look at himself as I'm the quarterback and everybody else. Tom emerges himself within the team, and he lets everybody know that I'm a part of you guys, and I'm going to do everything that a football player is supposed to do, not necessarily what a quarterback is supposed to do for an organization.
Say, man, go get your Tweety Bird, man.
Yeah, by the way, you know what? Five times.
Yeah,
a yellow Tweety Bird going on behind me?
African Gray, man. His name is Tupac. We named him Tupac. He's about 25 years old, too, man. So he's been in the family for a long time.
Let me see him. Can you get him?
I covered him up, so it shut up.
He pronounces it Tupac.
Can you get him?
Now, look, it's crazy. Now, he might mess around and bite me because, you know, I feed him all the time. He'll bite me, but my cousin Raymond come, he'll, you know, be all nice. So I ain't messing with that damn bird. I just feed him, man.
He bites the hand that feeds him? The bird bites the hand that feeds him?
Exactly, man. The bird is older than my kids, man. Like I said, he's like almost 25 years old, man. And they say they can live till 70 years old. So I'm
whatever,
like, man,
you do, you know, Ty. Whatever you do, keep the vodka away from him. Whatever you do.
He bite me again. Like he got me last night. I ain't gonna lie. He bite me again. I'm gonna pour some of this vodka on him. I'm gonna pour it in his bowl.
Problem is, if he likes it,
yeah.
Three times Super Bowl champ. Five. You see the accolades on the three-time Super Bowl champ, five-time Pro Bowler, twice first team All Pro, and that adds up to the Football Hall of Fame. Thank you, Ty.
All right, T.
All right, T.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys. I got y'all, man.
You got it, brother.
Ty Law, ladies and gentlemen.
He'll be
man.
On the show in about 2 months. Oh, yeah, man, I got y'all. Dudes, I got a new flavor coming. Like, man, where's our vodka? Stop being
Patriots
cheap.
Patriots-Bucks is not the only game with a battle of former coworkers.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day. But sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
The college football weekend is filled with top 25 matchups. Number 7, Cincinnati versus number 9, Notre Dame. Number 2, Georgia versus number 8, Arkansas. And number 12, Ole Miss at number 1, Alabama. SEC Nation will be in Tuscaloosa for Lane Kiffin against Nick Saban. And Laura Rutledge, the host of SEC Nation on SEC Network and NFL Live on ESPN, joins us now. Good morning to the great Laura Rutledge.
What's up, LR?
What's up, guys? How are you?
We're good. Just waiting and fired up to talk to you about this upcoming game. Lane Kiffin. It's Lane Kiffin versus Nick Saban. It's not even Alabama versus Ole Miss, Laura. It's one of those games that everybody's waiting to see if Lane Kiffin wins this football game. What will it do for Lane in his career?
Well, I got to tell you, Key, Nick Saban's skin is crawling right now as you're even saying that, because he hates the, he would call you rat poison right now for saying that. But yeah, I mean, listen, this is a fascinating matchup, and you're right. If for some reason this Ole Miss team, which by the way is very possible, can pull out a win in Tuscaloosa, it would change the entire trajectory of their program. Now, listen, there's a lot that has to go their way, and things are going to have to happen that are unexpected. But the reality is, this Ole Miss offense is the top offense in the country, they're averaging over 600 yards of offense every single game, and their points, their point average is like over 50. It was funny because we interviewed Lane Kiffin actually after week one when they beat Louisville, and he wasn't even there because of the COVID situation. And he said, oh yeah, if we're around 400 yards of offense, we consider that a really bad day. That's just the day and age that we're living in college football when it comes to the offenses in the game, but also as it relates to Ole Miss and their quarterback in Matt Corral, who is for sure the Heisman favorite right now, even though Bryce Young's probably right there neck and neck with him, but also potentially the number one quarterback taken off the board at next year's NFL draft.
Laura, what are you hearing in terms of, like, if you go back, I don't know, several years ago when Hugh Freeze was the head coach at Ole Miss, they would give Alabama a run for their money on the offensive side of the ball, putting up points. Lane did it again last year. What are you hearing about the way they can defend or how they would defend Lane's offense so those sort of things won't happen?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because Lane Kiffin even said this week that every defense they've played changes their defense to try and defend this Ole Miss offense. And so they're already expecting that. So, you know, the way that Alabama will approach it is probably like that. They're going to be specifically based on matchups. They're going to work for them to try and defend this offense. But I also think that if you play Ole Miss, you accept that they're going to score points, right? So it's a tough day for the defense. Defense can get worn down, but you're almost more reliant on your own offense, which Alabama in this case can score, right? And so I think at the end of the day, it comes back to that. Brian Robinson, Alabama's running back, who was out last week with a rib injury, is expected to play again. I think that's huge because at the end of the day, this Ole Miss defense has shown improvement, but they're not at the level where they can, you know, sit there and stop an Alabama offense that's functioning at a very high level as well. But, you know, Kiffin said this too. I think if Ole Miss is able to win this thing, especially on the road, the crazy things are going to have to happen, right? The things that you are not expecting are going to have to happen. And they know that. I wouldn't be shocked if they've got some trick plays dialed up, if they've got some things that, you know, Kiffin knows Saban well and vice versa, right? They've got some things that they think they can sort of do to put this team off balance. But that's why it makes it such an interesting game, because on the other side, you know that Saban's doing the same thing, right? This is, it's another fascinating one in the Saban versus his former assistants, but this one's got a little extra to it just because of the history between these two coaches.
Laura Rutledge joining us, host of NFL Live and SEC Nation on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Laura, just in his second year, he's gotten Ole Miss to be ranked 12th in the nation. How has he changed around the culture of this program so quickly?
Yeah, that's a great question, because I think a lot of people look at Lane Kiffin and remember him being fired on the tarmac. Sorry for that, Key, but I had to put that in there. They remember some of the hijinks at Tennessee, you know, and I do think that Kiffin, while he is sort of this new age coach and the way that he approaches his Twitter feed and the way that he puts things out there that maybe other coaches wouldn't, he's not maybe as stiff as some other coaches, but he has in a lot of ways grown and matured and improved as a head coach. And he would even say, looking back, that he wasn't ready for those head coaching roles in the way that he wanted to be ready at the times that he got them. So I do think that, you know, the way he's changed the culture in Oxford, the way that he's changed the perception of Ole Miss nationally, especially after what happened with Hugh Freeze and where they were for a while there, to rebuild it as quickly as he has. That's why this is a game, and I hate to be this, oh, hey, there's some sort of victory in losing, because there's not, right? They want to get the win. But I do think if they play Alabama really close, that's even going to go a long way in recruiting and in the overall conversation around this team. But that what he's built there and what he continues to build, especially with Matt Corral in the headlines as much as he is, they're going to continue to recruit well, and this is going to be a destination spot for college football players.
Laura, real quick, because we got to get out of here, but I want to ask you this. If Lane Kiffin somehow could pull off this victory against Nick Saban in Alabama, or even, like you said, pins and needle close, does he become the hottest coaching candidate again in his career that could potentially be on the market for one of those openings in Power 5 or the NFL?
Yeah. I mean, listen, I think he might already be there in a lot of ways, because here's why, Key, the offense. And we know that this game at the college and NFL level right now is so based around offense. I think that's attractive no matter where you are.
Well, a win. That was Laura Rutledge. Laura, thank you.
Yeah, I'll see her
jumping
in about
on
12 hours.
Yeah, a little bit.
Or less.
The great Laura Rutledge. A win by Ole Miss would certainly be the celebratory moment of the week. Last week, Arkansas's win over Texas A&M My Lord. Celebratory moment of the week brought to you by Allstate. Save money like a champion with Allstate Championship Savings for the win. Now, a national championship rematch next. What could we be talking about? KJM on ESPN Radio and ESPN News.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do. Big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
The Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Podcast.
Life is good.
Yeah, what do you know what I mean?
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, presented by Progressive Insurance. A battle of the last two number one picks. We've seen these two quarterbacks head-to-head before. Joe Burrow's LSU Tigers beat the brakes off of Trevor Lawrence's Clemson Tigers.
It's a new quarterback?
College football playoff national championship game 2 years ago. So what should we expect tonight? Let's hear from our reporters on the scene. Here's Mike DiRocco on what he's seen from the Jags' top picks so far.
Trevor Lawrence has made some impressive throws, shown some good pocket presence and movement, and hasn't gotten rattled. Definitely some positive steps in his development, but his biggest issue is turnovers. He has 9 in 3 games. He said 4 of his 7 interceptions were bad reads, which he counts as a more severe mistake than a bad throw. But Urban Meyer and offensive coordinator Daryl Bevel are pleased with his progress and his approach. Lawrence said he tries to pick out something each week to focus on. Last week it was making faster reads and getting rid of the ball quicker. He said he did that, and you could see it on his touchdown pass to DJ Chark. But he said his number one priority now is stop turning the ball over, because it's hard to win games when you're -8 in turnover ratio.
I love that he's picking out one thing to focus on, one thing at a time. So we saw the improvement in that one area, and now he's focusing on turnovers. Let's see what happens.
Yeah, I don't mind him turning the football over right now. Turn it over, get it out your system right now, because you're not going anywhere any damn way.
Like a young point guard. Just you want to see him taking some chances.
Just get it out the system and then learn from your mistakes week in and week out, and then come back next year, retool, because you're not going anywhere. Let's be honest.
You know how you deal with that mentally? I remember, you know, my record in college was 95-13 in 3 years. I lost 13 games in my first three weeks of the NBA, right? And what that does to you psychologically. So for him, he's thrown 7 picks already in 3 games. He threw 5 last year, the entire year for Clemson. So I think just continuing to be aggressive, but still just being able to go through his progressions and being sharp, always pushing to be sharp.
And the only difference with that, though, Jay, is your 13 losses in the pros or in college basketball wasn't your situation, your fault. This is somewhat his because he's given a ball to the other team and they're capitalizing on those turnovers and mistakes.
I hear that, and I hear that, like, just like a young point guard, make aggressive mistakes. But now I do want to see. He's focusing on turnovers, one thing at a time.
Yeah.
Let's see the results this week, because then there's the 2020 number one overall pick, Joe Burrow. Here's what Ben Baby says to expect in the matchup.
Thursday's contest between the Cincinnati Bengals and the Jacksonville Jaguars marks a rematch between two of the biggest young quarterbacks in the game. Cincinnati's Joe Burrow will face Jacksonville's Trevor Lawrence for the first time since Burrow's LSU Tigers beat Lawrence and Clemson to win a national title in 2020. Burrow had a lot of praise for this year's top overall pick when he spoke with reporters on Tuesday. Burrow said Lawrence had, quote, all the talent in the world and is just going to keep getting better and better with more reps. The Bengals are looking to build on their best start since 2018, while Lawrence is seeking his first NFL win.
See, it's so funny is you say, well, which one would you start a franchise with right now? Which one would you take? Blah, 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 blah. And I say, well, you know, I like Trevor Lawrence, but I like Joe Burrow too. And if both were on the board and one went and I was picking at two, I don't care. I'm happy with either one of the two. I think they're very similar. I don't think that there's just, you know, one's over here and the other one's so far behind. I think they're both good quarterbacks.
Question. Why was Joe Burrow, before he got hurt as a rookie, on a bad team in a bad franchise, able to have some success right away? He looked better early than Trevor Lawrence. And he was also on a bad team, bad, you know, the whole thing.
I think they, first of all, I think that there was a misconception. Well, it's not a misconception because the record is what it was with Joe Burrow in Cincinnati. That's why they picked him number one overall.
Right, sure.
But they still had some pieces. You know, Nixon at running back,
Green
a couple receiver. You know, they had a little pieces.
They didn't bring in a college coach.
They didn't bring in a college. So it was a little bit different. I think this is a complete rebuild for Jacksonville. Like, it's just all new. And so I think that that's what you're looking at, opposed to a dude, one, coming from a pro-style system at LSU into the pros. So there wasn't this huge, massive learning curve where you got to turn to the sideline, Clemson dude. Now all of a sudden I'm in the pros. It's so much different.
Jay, I could see Key watching some Trevor Lawrence throws. And Trevor Lawrence to me, and this is from basketball too, you have some guys who do certain things that are important in such an eye-popping way, they get ranked a certain way. Jerry Stackhouse's first step, or someone's hops or whatever, or someone's shot. But there are other dudes who just can play well, right? Like, and those guys don't pop as much maybe, but maybe that's the better choice. I feel like Trevor Lawrence is the guy who makes your eyes pop, and Joe Burrow somehow just wins.
I'll tell you, in that game against Pittsburgh, I mean, it's amazing what having little protection does for you, right? Like, he actually was protected in the pocket. He didn't get sacked one time. Like, think about that for Joe Burrow. He didn't get sacked one time versus Pittsburgh. So, you know, when you have time and then obviously he's able to play that way, and versus the Jags, look, like they've had, I think, like four sacks in the past three games or something like that. Some kind of abysmal number unless Josh Allen comes crazy off the edge. I just feel like Joe Burrow, when you start, everybody talks about Penny Sewell. They should have gotten Penny Sewell. Well, okay, like as long as they continue to make the right improvements with that O-line and he has protection, you got weapons like Jamar Chase. I mean, that's a team that's coming together at the right time.
Yeah, they're learning.
They're learning.
I mean, they're learning. I would have still liked them to take Penny Sewell, who's playing pretty good for the Detroit Lions right now, because I feel like protection, you can always find a receiver. I hate to say it, and I played the position, but you can always find a receiver that could do some things. And they already had T. Higgins, and so I'm like, okay, but I get it. I understand it. It seems like it's working out for him. But tonight's game will be interesting.
You know, there is a trend, Key. You said you could always find a receiver. There is a trend, it seems to me, of getting the quarterback, a guy he played with, be it a running back or a wideout, in college and using draft pick to bring that guy in for the quarterback. Do you think there is an advantage to doing that?
I don't, because I don't think that there's an advantage to doing it. Jamar Chase was going to thrive whoever he went to. He could have gone to Denver Broncos. He was going to be well because he's a good football player. T. Higgins is there, didn't play with Joe Burrow, had a fabulous rookie season prior to Burrow being hurt. So it's not like you had to do that.
But doesn't it – I'd assume they do it to make the quarterback feel comfortable.
When I say you can get a receiver anywhere, it's not like you have to take him in the top five picks.
Yeah, yeah.
Your Keenan Allen was a second-round guy. Look what he's done with my nephew was a second-round guy who has dominated the National Football League at an all-time high, who was Offensive Player of the Year a year ago or 2 years ago. So it's like you just I don't know. I like protection because the quarterback's got to be able to get me the football. If he's on his back, then it could be troublesome.
But, Jay, I hear what Key is saying, but it does seem to me that teams are making the choice intentionally to, even if it is to burn a pick, maybe they could get something similar later, to make that guy feel comfortable, to give him something he's familiar with. Sometimes it's a running back, sometimes it's a wideout, but it feels like they're trying to get these quarterbacks comfortable out the gate.
Can you imagine being Russell Wilson before all this stuff happened, and you're watching the Cincinnati Bengals kind of consult with their second-year quarterback who's going into a second year about, hey, like, what do you think about Ja'Marr Chase? Like, we're really thinking about bringing him on board. We love what he brings to the table. What would you think? Like, that's the kind of power quarterbacks are getting these days.
Yeah. Russ started sensing that, I think, in the offseason. Started thinking, wait a minute. Oh, here it comes. This is the time of the show where Key gets ready to
put that on your ankles, man.
To hit Jay with something.
Put it on your ankles.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max on ESPN Radio.
First take,
ESPN
next. News.
Keep the camera on this man right now.
Greeny's
we have
next.
To protect J. Will.
First take, Stephen A.
Sirius
getting
XM
some lotion for those ankles.
And your smart speakers. We'll see you tomorrow. Greeny coming up.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus. Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.